And good evening. This is Joseph Gibson coming at you live with a very special edition of Starfinder, Pathfinder. Which one is it? If you want to welcome my co-host, Mr. Jeff Ball.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing? Welcome to Simply Second Edition Podcast Vodcast live tonight on Twitch.tv/GM's Cut. We are mixing and mingling tonight with my co-host, Joe Gibson, tonight, our resident rule lawyer, and been promoted to host of this show because Rob, we've thrown him into deep space. We've tossed Rob into the world of Starfinder. Now, Rob will be having his own show very shortly, and it will be broadcast Sunday nights at 8 p.m. EST, every other Sunday at least, which leaves every other Sunday for me and Joe to do things like, oh, I don't know, perhaps Mr. Jared Mercer would like to share his homebrew world and show you how easy it is to drop homebrew stuff right into Pathfinder second edition gaming using the core books, because here we are talking about it's simply second edition, and we will cover that later. But tonight we have Raggled fresh off of the LA shores, 3 hours behind us, coming fresh out of their Attack of Opportunity podcast. Two gentlemen that need no introduction, Mr. Jake Gyllenhaal and Mr. Joss Wheaton. No? Okay.
But you can't tell which is which.
We have Sean Connery and Joseph Mandela. No. We have Connery and Joseph, the gentlemen, the creators of Starship Impala podcast, a homebrew setting for the Starfinder universe and rule set. And something we didn't cover in the earlier interview, guys, is do you use the actual canon places, or are you like in deep space? You know what I mean? Like, is it your own?
In season one, I set it in the Vast, so it all takes place in like a different area, and I kind of ignored the main setup. But in the new game,
I'm using all the Paizo planets and places, but just my own storylines and my own people, you know, so not too many characters from Paizo, but they're Absalom Station and Castrovel is the two places we've been so far.
I think I had Diaspora in like the main game, because like Talia, one of our players, and she is from Diaspora, so I was like, well, we have to have that there.
Right on. So two guys that know Starfinder way better than us. Now, Rob has been deep undercover reading for weeks now about Starfinder universe and loving it. So we decided to give him his own show. And thanks to Fantasy Grounds, our sponsor, not only for this show, but Age of Ashes. And now, Rob, I'm happy to publicly announce, without you having technical glitches and disappearing every time I tried to say it in front of you, that the good folks at Fantasy Grounds will actually pick up your show, The Frequency of Screams Adventure Path for Starfinder, Static Fear, with your host and GM, Rob Hammond. We'll be coming to you live in October, officially sponsored by Fantasy Grounds. Let's make the Starship Impala guys cry. We got it one without even trying. You know? How do we get a sponsor? No. But I've asked them to stick around tonight and tell us, you know, share their DM wisdom. Connery did season one. Josh doing season two. These guys know Starfinder.
Joseph.
We just met. Give me a break. You look like Jake Gyllenhaal. No. I just can't get over it. I went downstairs. The wife's like, Jake Gyllenhaal? You have Jake Gyllenhaal? No, honey. Get back on the couch. You know, you can't meet him.
He's too handsome.
He's too handsome for me. And you won't be able to. You know. But, you know, actually, speaking of our earlier interview where you were talking about snapping your fingers, Connery, and just making things happen in your world, and I said, don't do that. Every time you do that, Robert Downey Jr. dies. You know, the wife and I do have an understanding that, like, if Robert comes to the door, I'm just like, go, be free. Like, come on, man. Robert Downey Jr. comes to your door for your wife. What are you going to do? Fight him? Fuck no. I love your work.
Your wife did it.
You know, no. I just, the improbability.
You snap kinda, Robert Downey Jr.
You snap. Die, motherfucker. Die. Yeah, I probably would in the moment. But you know, to her for the argument so that you get the dinner you want, you know, you got to be supportive. So anyway, moving on. Tonight, what are we doing? Are we in Starfinder? Not quite yet. Are we in Simply Second Edition? Well, technically, Starfinder is kind of a breach. It's between First Edition. They've improved and did some of the things for laser guns and space. And we're going to talk to the guys about that tonight. And Second Edition is a push into, you know, the new rule set for Pathfinder objectivity. So in the middle, I still think it counts that we could pull this off in this show. We're going to talk to Rob about what he's got going, because it's Rob here that's been poking around the, and let me just reveal this here, the Starfinder version for Fantasy Grounds, our sponsor, telling us how wonderful, how easy it is to make characters and such. But we know a little lore, very little about the world, the lore. I mean, raise your hands. Who's actually cracked the Starfinder core book? Anyone?
I did.
A wee little bit.
couple pages in, maybe at best. But who needs that when you could just like click a button and go, hey, here's your races, you know, here's your backgrounds, you know, kind of thing. So that's what we're going to show you tonight. We don't have a lot of time. We will be switching over because we did promise Jared Mercer, no relation to Mr. Mercer of Crit. Crit, you know what I'm talking about?
That
show. Yes. Well, I can't say his name out loud.
Oh, because he'll come.
Yeah, you say his name three times, he shows up going, I'm not related to your guy. Stop texting me. So let's start off with Rob.
Yes.
Here we are at the character selection, and we are showing, we've invited these two right into your game, and these guys aren't familiar with Fantasy Grounds. What are we looking at? And then whenever we hit a roadblock, or Rob, if you have a question about the lore, the book, the rules, because we certainly don't know anything, I got these two handsome gentlemen here that could answer questions for about 30 minutes. So let's on with the show, gentlemen.
Yeah, great.
Rob.
Well, as everybody, number first thing is we have to decide who is going to play what part. I mean, that's one of the biggest things about running the story. Everybody has to fill a niche somewhere, right? So I'm going to need a pilot. I'm going to need a tech guy. I wanted to ask you guys, is your campaign heavily magic or heavily tech?
For us, it was my thing was heavy tech, I guess, because I deal with a lot of like cosmic weirdness that happens. But our core player base, we had a we had an operative, we had a engineer, mechanic, Salarian,
and soldier. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so for this new season. Connor's playing a mystic, so we're having a little bit more magic in it than we did last season.
So, okay. See, what we're hearing is Pathfinder something. As you guys use these terms, could you possibly translate them to a Pathfinder audience?
So what is operative? We had a rogue, so that's basically a rogue archetype. The mechanic, what's a good equation? It's like maybe a ranger. That's what I was about to say.
Because it's not really magic, but you get an animal companion, but it's a drone. Mm-hmm. Or you can choose an AI. My character had an AI. Mm-hmm. Because he was an android and I thought it fit him more.
And soldier, fighter, paladin.
Yeah.
It's pretty basic. And then the Solarian is like kind of like a sorcerer meets a monk, pretty much.
That's pretty good. Yeah, it's hard to draw a Pathfinder comparison.
It's a Jedi with sorcerer. Gravity or light powers. Come on, guys.
Exactly that. Basically, it's a Jedi.
I lean heavy into the Green Lantern aspect of it, especially in our friend Jacob, who plays our Solarian. I was like, I just went full like him. Like Green Lantern Star Wars was like my entire thing with his whole arc.
Oh my, we got to keep another set of rules out of this there though. There's a lot of games being played here.
We're trying to translate to like, you know, since you don't know Starfinder.
Exactly.
You know, picture this or relate to this. It's all good there. So we're looking at character selection. Now a character jam, everyone gets excited. We're going to do a character jam. Think about it. It's a bunch of guys going, hang on, I got to read this. And now we're dead air. So we don't want to do that. So what we're going to do is my guys have already started to click around on their sheets and they're starting to build their characters as far as they can get. They might have stopped at race. They might have stopped at class. They might have stopped at skill set. And as we go around each part, we can hit on a different person. So Rob was asking about the roles, right? So you're reading the adventure, Static Fear. It's horror in space, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, it's so unbelievably complex once you read a little deeper into it. We'll start with it. It's horror set in space.
Okay, but you're not supposed to tell us too much, right? Okay, so if you can't do that, what about the ship positions? Can you guys back me on this at the Impala? You need a pilot, you need a gunner, you need engineering, you need a science guy, you need a cap. Like, that's five. There's five of us.
So there's five. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. We have a team of four.
We have four, so we don't use a science officer.
Yeah, we don't use a science officer.
Because the skill packages can be picked as feats or archetypes, so you actually have a subset of skills.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So even though you're a fighter, you pick skills that round you out on the party.
Exactly.
So match your skills to your background and then whatever you choose to be.
Rob, I'm curious. You're doing a horror space one. That's totally my jam. Have you like watched I watched Event Horizon recently. I'm like, that sounds like so freaking fun. Like I just watched it. I'm like, this was a sick and cool movie.
Yes, Event Horizon is a classic, definitely.
You know, we were talking about doing a large cast and then if you die, you're out. Because it's space horror, you know.
Yeah, that's spooky.
That would be cool.
Yeah, well, you know, you can go on a date in LA on Sunday night, or you can hang out with these guys. I'm just saying, you know, ditch that background echo so the sponsor is okay with audio quality, and we've got two red shirts. I mean, two qualified Starfinder players.
I'll be the boldest red shirt you've ever met.
Right here, you know. But, I'm just saying.
Like you're saying, Jeff, you're wondering about filling out the crew, and that's why so many characters this week. You can pick what you want, and then just as a secondary, just pick a handful of skills that make you worthwhile on the ship. There's ship. Yes, it is going to be. Actually, there's a lot of it involved in the beginning, but once you hit planet side, like your pilot still has to have other skills. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You have a background of something else, and I was impressed with how easily the characters went together. Hmm. Now, bear in mind, I didn't have to whip out pen and paper and do all this. I got this right away. I was like, oh, I can just do it like this, right?
Yeah.
I still had to fall back on the archives of Nethys to see the order of creation. If you follow the order of creation for everybody from what you're used to playing with pen and paper and just drag and convert it to drag and drop to Fantasy Grounds, you can be done your basic character in 20 minutes, a half hour.
Nice.
Cool. Very cool. Okay.
And that's what I was saying. Is like I said, it's actually so much easier. It's now that's because second edition has so much depth to it. Like there are so many crossovers and skill packages and types of magic and everything else. It's a much bulkier system, right? Because it's not additive. It's subtractive. You subtract from your character as opposed to adding to your character in most categories. Like we were putting in, like for example, I was making a rogue. All the rogue stuff is there. Then you have to remove what you don't get. And you have to follow the tracker for what you're supposed to remove.
So you're saying like when we picked a race, it gave you 10 types of dwarves. And you're like, well, I'm not a forged dwarf. I'm not an underground dwarf.
Effectively,
I'm,
yes.
I'm this dwarf. And that's the process
right.
Because it loaded that's all.
Where we, and that's where we kept running into troubles. We weren't communicating very well. We're all right in there. But okay. None of us had spent the time to see how it worked. With that knowledge applied to this, like I said, it's just unbelievably quick.
Okay. So we've got four. We may have Matt Witt, Cheryl Ball, and these two famous gentlemen joining us at any given time. You know, as an auxiliary cast, you don't know, but let's start with a core four, possibly five by the time we launch you in October. How about race? Corey, I know you've picked a race.
Yes, sir, I have. I've decided that I'd like to be one of them forearm guys, Kasatha.
Please know the name. It's like that forearm guy. You know?
Your background will be interesting, to say the least, when it gets written.
Well, hopefully we can have some, cool. Hopefully we can have some fun with it.
So, do you have a picture of a Kasatha?
I'll grab it.
Of Mufasa that you can show us.
Mufasa.
So close, not quite. Forearms.
Okay. So, what can you tell us about this race? Is there anything, any quirks, anything about their lore, guys? Starship Impala guys. Sorry.
Oh, so they are from a starship called the Idari that came into the Pact Worlds. And the pack people from the Pact Worlds made a first contact with them that went peacefully, but they still mostly live on that colony ship. And Kasatha were actually in Pathfinder. They one of the books they added, so they took them and brought them into Starfinder as well.
I didn't know that. That's fun.
Yeah, I think part of the lore is that they, even in Pathfinder, they came from some distant planet or something. And
I remember an NPC in Iron Gods popped up.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. I'm from space. And everybody's like, sure you are. Sure.
Yeah. And so that's now they're on this big colony ship called the Idari. And that's where all the Kasatha are from.
Yeah. Weren't they a colony ship? But by the time they got here, man had evolved. And they went, oh, gee, the planet's taken. We'll just orbit.
Yes.
Maybe they'll die out.
Maybe they'll die out.
Maybe they'll die out.
In Pathfinder. And so now the humans are in space. And everyone on Galarian is in space too.
And
they're allies now.
So, Connery, what can you tell me about this? With those forearm guys. No, the forearm guys.
Oh, they wear they cover their mouths all the time.
Joe's going to know more about this. He's actually
I've been reading more of the lore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I made up all my own lore and stuff. Tyler. he's the guy that's going to be everything.
My race are the Mufasa and they're lion people and they, what? Okay.
Exactly that.
They say that they don't know, like outsiders don't know why they wear those claws over their mouths, but every Kasatha does. It's a cultural thing.
Yeah, don't they believe it's very intimate to show your mouth?
Yes. Yes.
Mm. You know.
Is that Justin's guy?
No.
Okay. He's a Lashunta.
Mm.
You know. They've just really afraid of the movie Redemption. Well, like, you got to burn your mouth.
Something.
Four arms are doing this. Get away from me.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah, no, really. It's just... mm-hmm. Oh, okay, cool. So, Corey, why did you pick him?
Because they have four arms.
Yeah.
He just wants extra attacks, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, actually, extra attacks. That just means I can hold more than one thing at a time.
There is a feat you can take to shoot all four. If you have a small arm in each of your four hands, there's a feat called Fusillade where you can shoot all four of them in one turn.
Oh, that would be very cool.
There you go.
But also remember, if it's already in your hand, no action to draw it. Like, it's easy.
Exactly.
You preserve actions.
Right.
I was actually thinking more along the lines of an outlaw character. More hands, sleight of hand, maybe a little bit of hacking.
More
hands, more computers, more things on the go.
If it was a critical fail, do you just put it in the wrong pocket and can't find it again?
Absolutely.
It's like, haha, oh, shoot.
So another question for Connery and Josh. The outlaw, he's talking about the backgrounds now, yeah?
Yeah, yes. You sign with the backgrounds. You can have several different
themes. And that's one thing they added to this. So you have your race, your class, and your theme. And they keep adding more themes. The core book, I think, has 7 or so. Yeah. And then a lot of the events or paths will add more to that.
Careful leaning cool. back there. The void keeps taking you.
Sorry. But it's a really interesting way to just add more to your character. And they're not, the powers from them aren't too OP or anything, so they're not going to be huge game changing.
Yeah, a lot of them are just like, you get like, if you're checking, like, you're an outlaw, and like maybe if you're stealing, a pickpocketing something, or you get like a +1 or like maybe half or something like really weird.
You know things about what an outlaw would know, and yeah. you know, I was an ace pilot because I was the pilot of the ship, so that helped a lot, helped me maneuver the spaceship better.
Also, your lore skills give you the lore of the background of vehicles. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it sounds like a combination of like traits from first edition, mm-hmm. where you could look in the adventure and specific traits to tie you to the adventure, and yeah. then there's the backgrounds from Pathfinder Second Edition. See, I told you guys it was halfway in between the two.
You're right.
I didn't believe mm-hmm. it. Halfway in between. So we've got a forearm guy who's a bit of an outlaw. Have you decided on a class, Corey?
I was thinking about an envoy, maybe.
Ooh.
And what do they represent? In layman's term, if you please, gentlemen.
Bard. They're going to be the one buffing the party.
Oh!
Smooth talking, that sort of deal.
I was
but no magic.
Envoy.
But no magic.
That's always, he goes for this dope race, a cool outlaw, and he's like, oh, I'm a bard.
Well, you could be like a movie star, or like some kind of underground celebrity, like a punk rocker would be super tight.
The Phil Collins drum solos you could do with four arms, like just please tell me that. I'm just saying. Oh, geez.
But the classes also though are a lot different, like variations. Like they're not like just mm-hmm. mechanic. There are extreme mm-hmm. differences. So yeah, he can be that very charismatic person, or he can be the world's best assassin.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
like that's
very cool. Jarrett, you're peeking your mic.
You say bard, but that really doesn't touch on what that class really is. Like that he could literally talk his way into somebody else's embassy, take all of their money, go out, and have them tip him. Yeah, like that's like,
kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah.
It leans yeah. on that's... your gameplay more than anything else, from what I've read. Like it's your style that's going to decide which way he goes. But rather than have a whole bunch of rules so that each character has to have, like, I mean, how many feats or archetypes or paths or whatever you want to call them, you are perfecting it during your character creation so that you have a fully formed idea of your character when you start playing. You don't just roll the character and go, let's see what he turns out to be. While you make the character, you've got to have an idea in mind when you're making him, mm-hmm. or it will mm-hmm. be useless. Your skills will be all over the map.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep. So while we're still on Jarrett, I get you to turn down your mic a bit, Jarrett. You're peaking there. How far have you gotten in the world of race, class, and theme?
I'm actually going to probably be the most difficult one of the group just because I really haven't found a race that I actually feel like I would enjoy playing as. And I've been looking at a lot of the different races, but I just haven't found one yet that really makes me like go, ooh, that is totally what I'm going to play. That's totally going to work for me.
No, there's an otter person race that exists now, and that's pretty fun.
Well, the alien mythology, like the monster manual, has races in it that you could also flip to PC. They're noted in there, you know. So that would be a question for Rob. Would you allow an alternate alien humanoid race?
Okay, I have no problem with that. I don't even have a problem with a custom race, but the background is going to be imperative. I need to have a way to tie it. Right. Somewhere. It can't just pop out of nowhere.
And that was going to be my second question. Even though I haven't played any of the Pathfinder adventures, I do know that they put character creation stuff in their first book. So is there any stuff that's tied to the screen?
And he froze. On to Joe. Moving on. It's always the best part where he's about to say, you know, and one last thing I just want to ask is,
and this is the most important thing.
Yeah. I blame the internet in LA, but while we do have you two still moving about, mm-hmm. Joe.
Yes.
Race,
class ideas. Race, still pondering.
Okay.
Still pondering because it's a new system for me, so I am still reading.
Yep.
There's so many options too. There's like a lot. There's a lot to choose from, especially in the races.
Hey, Jared's back. You were saying, Jared? He's just kind of like, oh, we lost you at, what was he talking about?
Good. The second turn? Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. The using alien races, right, from the handbook Rob's cool with that. And then you were asking
the just character creation stuff that's in this campaign. Is there any character creation stuff we need to worry about?
No. The only thing they really added was a paranormal investigator. It's open to you to look at right now. If you take a look, it's there. It has some very interesting powers. The scream thing is just a riot. Your character literally, when something bad happens, gives that high blood-curdling shriek. It gives a bonus to your allies because they're made aware of what there's something bad going on. It causes a DC negative on the ones that fail their check. But also bear in mind, other monsters in the next room can hear you scream too. So there's a lot of bonuses. It gets it is literally right out of a movie, all the skills the paranormal investigator has.
Oh yeah, I'm about to show you how awesome tabletop audio is. Oh, please, yes, Jared. Like 1940s, you know, woman, black and white, sees the mummy and like, what's wrong? My coffee. You know, so it'd be awesome. Anyway, that's up to you, dude. Because if you don't take it, I sure as hell am. Damn, sure.
Oh, now, yes. All of you be paranormal investigators, Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, that's the first thing it was. Like,
well, that almost makes you the number one not to die until the very end of the game. Like, you know, it's part of the never dies.
Now, part of the character creation for the paranormal is that there has to be a mystery that you are seeking out or searching for. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be foremost in the game. There's always something in the background. There's always some big mystery you're trying to solve. So, I mean, it allows for a lot of offshoots and a lot more. Now, you guys, like I said, you choose homebrew over AP.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jeff knows, unless I've been playing with Jeff, I didn't touch them. He ran the APs, but I was always homebrew. I always created. I had used the setting, and I used used it as a timeline so that I didn't screw it up for other people. Mm-hmm. So I take it you're following the same idea. Like, well, we still may want to do an AP at some point.
Yeah, right? I'm actually going to do a 5e1 because everyone's doing a 5e1 at some point. But we're going to do like Wrath of the Storm King or whatever that one is. But we're going to spend a lot of kind of homebrew stuff in it as well. Joseph, you keep appearing and disappearing.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things we did, like with season one, I'm at least following the world a little bit more closely.
Yeah,
so we're using the gap. That's what's great about Starfinder.
Yes, the gap is amazing.
Nobody knows what happened.
The gap.
So it's such a great way to use that as an excuse. Like, oh, like the last campaign just took place during the gap and we don't know what happened. You know?
Yeah, like, just erased all my hard work. No, but yeah, it's really great. Like, I'm really excited I want to investigate that in your
pool. And by the way,
the gap's all about.
And also remember, everybody, you're not going to find Galarian. Don't look for Galarian. Galarian isn't there. Like, they stress this over and over again. Like, don't even waste your time trying. Whatever they've got planned for that is you know, that's worth the price of playing Starfinder. Just to find out what the hell happened. If it takes 10 years, it takes 10 years, but I'll stick around to find the end. I'm a completist.
That's awesome. I'm actually running sci-fi suspense off of the soundboard for tabletop while you guys are talking about what happened during the gap, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, tabletopaudio.com is free, and nothing against Sirenscape. It is a great platform, and I would get it if I could afford it. But I found Tabletop Audio first. I'm loyal to Tim. He does great stuff. He has soundboards. He has all free ambient music to run 10 minutes, and we use them across the board in all of our shows at the Rollmongers Network here. And, you know, as you guys are talking here, I'm just giving some little samples here. I mean, he's got Probe Droid that sounds like the Star Wars
Probe Droid.
Yeah, like, you know, the one that, you know, like one of Hoth, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, the Evil Empire one, yeah.
You know, there's like creatures growling and shit. Like we're going to have a lot of fun. But I don't see any Jared screaming. That's kind of, you know.
Look for something in horror. Just search horror scream. You'll find it.
Yeah.
While I've got guys who played Starfinder here, do you find, I was taking a look at, I mean, I'll admit, I bounced around a lot when I started looking at the books. Like, read one, oh, look, jump over here, jump over. And I was all over the map. Is there any problem integrating that many different aspects? Have you had any trouble with that? You ever got to the point where you was like, damn, I wish that guy didn't play that character? Like,
no, I haven't yet. Mm-hmm. I think because the galaxy, you can kind of, everyone's on every planet. You know, it's not too, at least if you're one year in the Pack Worlds, if you're out in the vast. We had one guy make up his own race, mm-hmm. and then I had to incorporate that.
The race incorporation is great too. Like I said, make your own race. I'll find a world.
Exactly. So I just put his planet out in the vast, his home world, and you know he's part of the crew. And
or you blame it on the gap. There just happened to be
exactly
around the galaxy. They don't know.
Walk anything around.
Still, as the corporate section of the, you know, we have an official sponsor, and I'm pretty sure they would like you to try to utilize as many of the books that they did give us for free. So
if you look in the Alien Archive, all the instructions are there for it.
Oh, what is it? Okay, cool.
Yeah, they don't leave you hanging. Like, they have provided you with, that's why I said, I don't care if you want to create a custom race. I know the rules already exist.
Exactly.
And they're designed for just that. If you can't find, same thing with creating like a themeless character. It's nowhere near as crippling as it was in Pathfinder. If you didn't pick an archetype or the right stuff, you sucked, like from the gate. Where here, if you go themeless, or decide your own theme, you can bulk up on whatever skills you want. So you can tilt that character in the direction you wanted right from the gate.
Very cool.
It's cool.
No, that's seriously cool. Now I've just done a quick little rig here. You guys.
Jeff, we can't hear you.
Jeff, we can't hear you.
We've lost you. Into the void.
Fine, I'll switch it back. I was trying to set this up so that voice meter, you guys hear me now?
Yes.
That you'd hear what I play, you know, on the sound pad here, but I must have buggered something, but I did find a lovely woman screaming.
That would have been very alarming to hear.
Now, I know you guys can't hear it. You'll have to play this back, but everyone look at Jared. Yeah. Jared. Okay. Look scared, Jared. Oh yeah, definitely. It's you or me, buddy. One of us is gonna have to be the paranormal guy.
You're asking me to look scared. I've been practicing all my other stuff.
Been scared his whole life.
So no forced decisions. Obviously, a lot still on the table, guys. Jarrett's kind of hung up on custom race. What about a class? Just forget the background, the paranormal. What about a
okay. class feature? So I have narrowed that down to either I want to be a demolitions mechanic. Who like has this whole thing of if it's in his way, he'll just blow it up, like, you know, because
hey, Jared, have you ever played a space game before?
Yes, I have.
Okay, just you understand how many people are just gonna run screaming when they see you coming.
Like, so no. This is why Jeff.
Or how many people will be blown into the vast of space?
Exactly.
I've played Traveler. I've also killed an entire station worth of people before. It's okay.
Oh yes, Traveler, the only game where you can die in character creation.
There, done that, have 4 t-shirts.
There you go.
Only 4?
I was normally the DM, so I got to watch other people die.
It's going to be a recurring theme. Like, before we got back on the air here, we had some technical problems, and I come back into the phone call here, and Jared is like telling these guys how he's killed so many guys. They just keep running
it. With the Pathfinder DUE podcast.
If you blow stuff up in space, though, like, doesn't that punch a hole in our ship and we all get sucked out into space? Like,
this ideally, is why I was kind of leaning towards maybe is it the Solarian who gets the ability to go out into space without any need of anything? Or is that the
it's mist? A race.
There's a race.
The Sarcesians.
Oh, is it the race?
The Sarcesians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
14 foot tall, skinny looking.
Know, yeah. I'll get to you eventually. Just launch me out the tube, Captain.
I'll make my own exit. Thank you. Beep.
yeah.
Click.
Thank God we got rid of that guy. He had like double helpings in the mess hall, and he's just scraping along the ceiling.
You just like slam against the window. I'm back, everyone.
yeah, exactly. Like have a Thor moment. Just
yeah.
Exactly. There you go. That is a good, like, they're all looking on the table. It's the strong, handsome man poking at him. Anyway, okay, so obviously lots of decisions for Jared. Joe.
Yeah. Yes.
Still reading, you know.
Still reading.
Yeah, this is what still I feared deciding. Of. Like, yeah.
This well, is what I feared.
As I was telling you guys in my interview, I spent 99% of my gaming career DMing instead of playing. Have I played? Sure, lots of times, sure. But consecutive sessions, like X amount of sessions, rarely, not since like 20 years ago. Did I ever finish a module? I can't even remember. There was always that just the DM got unavailable or something, and then all heads went, yep, I'll take the chair. You know? And I'm happy there. I have to admit, I do love the big chair. I love telling the stories.
Me and Joseph had like a similar thing with that, where we both like DMing a lot, and so... I feel like a different thing every time where you're like, I'm playing now, and you're like, okay, I'm playing, I have to get used to this. And now it's on me where I'm like, okay, now I'm actually playing the game. I have to get used to what's happening.
It's hard to take your DM knowledge. Now, you think a DM would be fearless, but like when you get squished into a player's avatar body, you're like, you're not touching anything. Crippling. You're just like, oh, it's terrible. What happened? There's a wonderful map of, I know, giant map popped up and filled my world.
Come that out. To show you something there.
Okay.
This is one of the first places everybody's going to get to, so I'm not really revealing too much. But for you guys over there at Starship Impala, on my version, there's little pins in each and every section. And those pins contain the information and the encounters.
Oh, wow.
So when you create it, you drop the information, you put your encounters in there, and then you literally just click and open them up.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
Yeah, if you watch our Age of Ashes show, we actually show the GM view, and I walk you through that type of thing, so you can actually see, cool. You get to see the game from the DM's point of view. You just got to put with me DMing.
And and also, for the homebrew side, like there's a few things I want to add into this, obviously. Uh-huh. And all I do is create the pins, drop them in, and that way if they stumble across them, great. If not, I can literally take that encounter from where it is and move it to somewhere else without having to rewrite it or move it around. Also, you can custom make all of these maps because Fantasy Grounds has its own scaling. So as long as you keep your map to scale, you can make all your minis and everything else scale from within Fantasy Grounds.
Wow.
Whoa. That's great. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Yes, I was stumbling with this when I first got it, trying to do too much at once. So I've just focused on a few things over the last couple of weeks, and that's one of the ones because I've been creating custom maps as well.
There's a custom one for you too that you made?
No, this is theirs. All credit to the guys over at Paizo. They did an amazing job.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I know how it was done.
Then that's all that matters.
Yeah, no, I found the they actually have the token sets available in Fantasy Grounds for a lot of this stuff, for furniture, characters, everything. So if you want them, you can just pay a couple of bucks and add them in, or you can grab them offline too. I mean, if you get them with the Fantasy Grounds stuff, though, they're all scaled properly.
Cool.
So you can spin them up and down. Like, for example, if your character gets cast in a size growth or something, you can literally just spin on the on your icon on the screen and your character will get bigger.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
I've dropped a link in the chat here for you guys to check out later. Paizo is starting to launch official trailers for their APs, and they show that zooming in and zooming out of the character art throughout the book. They have voice actors and music and everything. And it's this trailer that switched us from the swarm going, yeah, we're going to do Starship Troopers, to like, no, October's coming. We have to do space horror.
Yeah, it's spooky.
Yeah. So my question is, because it's Paizo's, can I show that on our stream and have us critique it and talk about it?
If it's public domain, you can. If it's a commercial, all we're doing is airing a commercial. Like, we could air it and send them an email saying, like, hey, we showed this in our show. We're sorry.
Sorry. It's, what's that expression? It's better to ask forgiveness than permission.
That's my rule.
We're allowed to show certain stuff. So,
For example, though, Jeff, like this map here, this is a Paizo creation.
Yeah.
But we paid to use it in Fantasy Grounds.
Okay.
So there's no problem with us showing it. All you're doing is giving us a commercial. You're not actually... You are not using it to gain any benefit.
Okay.
You earn no money from that.
That's right. You're just showing, say, here's where you want to look at it.
Okay.
There's no problem with that.
Let's try something, guys. Everyone get on that link.
Okay. Is it in the chat? Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll do a reactionary. This is Starship Impala and our crew for Static Fear reacting to the official Paizo trailer for Starfinder's AP, Signal of Scream. 3, 2, 1, go.
I'm getting some dead space.
Hello? Bugs. Is this thing transmitting? Yeah. If you can hear me, you must stay away. We came here to this resort on an asteroid in the diaspora for a relaxing vacation. Everything had been provided for us. Drinks by the jacuzzi, spa treatments, gourmet meals. It was like a dream come true. But something, I don't know what, happened to everyone.
That's what happened when the rat got in the jacuzzi.
Mild headaches, images flickering in the corner of the eye. Weird urges. But then that urge went missing. And what... After someone discovered the travel writer dead in the ventilation shafts, a whole... up from the old mining tunnels below, and now everyone dead or insane. Repeat, do not come.
You'll fit right in there, Corey. Look,
there's only death here.
I see that.
And pain. Sweet, liberating pain that will open your mind to a new reality.
Hey, it's Rat Guy.
Free your soul from the shackles of typical morality. Yes, surely you can hear it by now. In the back of your brain, the sound that will transform the universe. The signal of screams.
That's some Hellraiser shit.
Yes.
So I won't be joining this show. I'm going to be busy elsewhere. And we need suckers. I mean, victims. I mean, somebody, I don't want to play this anymore. It looks very scary. Yeah. So that is what you're in for. And I can't help that this map looks like a resort, Rob.
Yeah.
You know, like the beginning, we went to the resort, everything was fine. Oh, look, there's a rat getting in my jacuzzi. Then shit got crazy, and I'm looking at a resort, man. Like, I don't like where this is going already.
Well, you don't even get there right away, to be honest with you. There's a leg to go before you even get there.
All right. Well, I wanted to save mine till last, but since you guys are still deciding, I have some questions. So I have a concept idea for a character. It's a little complicated, but I'm trying to get a lot of pent up I wasn't ever playing out. Okay. So if I were to do the Scooby-Doo guy, what would you call him?
The Paranormal Investigator.
The Paranormal Investigator. Okay.
Just be Shaggy. Be Zach Bagan.
My idea is picture a really, really, really old paranormal investigator traveling the universe. He's got his tinfoil hat. Like, no one believes him, right? This is a man who runs around by himself. He needs a companion, a pal, an alternating personality android liaison, or a pal for short. And yes, pal rhymes with Hal. I want to play an android. I want to play a multi-personality type android that's in demo mode, being the right person for the right guy and being your buddy until someone claims ownership. Sure.
So like he's his own best friend?
Well, no, it's like the old man owned me, but the old guy, they find me in a shipping cargo container. Gotcha. And I'm with the dead old paranormal guy. So I've been with him for years, so I know all his skills. I have his skill set, right?
And I thought you were saying like multiple personality disorder. I'm like, you're like a malfunctioning android.
Well, no, he's actually programmed that he has a couple of like, say, 6 or 10 default settings. Do you guys remember Batty from Ferngully, played by Robin Williams? They kept switching his channel and he was doing all these impressions, right? So my idea is the android, when he doesn't have ownership, you know, the android died. I'm an old model that came from before the freedom of the slaves of this race, right? So he thinks he needs to belong to somebody. What's going to happen with a venturing party? Venture party, you're going to go, okay, everybody. It's like, we'll actually hear this through the crate, right? We all share what's in there. And the droid can't process this. So he's stuck in demo mode, you know?
Like
so for Jared, you know, like he's one guy, whoever he thinks Jared needs, that kind of friend, you know, for the mercenary, he's like, yeah, we get the, you know, you got the cigar. He's like, we got this, you know, Full Metal Jacket. Right. And the next guy, you know, or like I said, if the wife joins the cast or we got like a good looking guy, you know, that's got a pretty mouth, you know, you get Rico Suave. It's okay. I'm here for you. You know, this type of thing. And he's stuck in demo mode until they pick a personality.
This is funny. I like that. That's really funny.
And like I said, the obvious choice would be the envoy. But if we have an envoy, your best companion would probably be either like the pilot or just like a protector, like a mercenary. You know, he has your basic, I can shoot, protect you. He's the guy in the trench with you. Anyway,
yeah, so his personality will adapt to you.
Exactly. So he's this insanely out of date, expensive, owned by rich and crazy people droid that do deep space faring missions that need someone that's not going to get bored. Because you go in space with like a Scooby-Doo shuttle. The van is really that big, you know, of the shuttle with like one guy, you're going to kill each other. You know, the droid is designed to be, you know, supportive, supplementive, you know, a proper companion, anything you want.
Have you read any of the iRobot books by Asimov?
I've seen the movie.
Oh, my God. You young people.
Well, thank you.
I happen to have read all 30 of them. So, but yes, I know exactly what you're looking for. We can characterize. Anyway.
It could be really cool or it could be annoying as hell really, really quickly, depending on if I overplay it. So like I said, there's that option where a character owns me or the party owns me. Or like you said, they just pick a setting. Personality 6 is at least annoying. And he goes, right?
And then, of course, somebody goes along later on and pokes personality 4 just because it's fun.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or whenever he's alone with this one person and they need help, it's like, you look tense, master. How's it going? You know, this kind of thing, right? You guys remember?
Jeff, depending on how much you want to invest in creating that character, you would actually create multiple characters and switch between them.
Ooh. That would be fantastic.
That's how it would be done. That's the best way to do it.
I thought about that, but like I said, since he's a marketing thing, the demo mode, the second edition, like think of a guy like Stock Factory, you know, a brand new computer. He doesn't have a lot in him. He grows and experiences, right? So basically you have this droid with all these experiences and stuff. When the owner dies, he reboots, he resets, he reformats.
But that would affect all of his skills.
No, he's first level. He's like, he reformat, like the windows inside his head is first level dude with the operative class. You know, he's very adaptive and stuff. And he has these sort of superficial personalities. And as you pick one.
We got to pin that one. You and I are going to talk about this at length.
Okay. Yeah.
It's going to be a much longer conversation because between the two of us, we can make it work. But we're killing air here. And I'm really enjoying having you guys here. I really have.
Thank you. Well, thank you, that being said, that we do have to take off now.
Yeah, I knew that.
This all sounds super cool. If you guys need red shirts,
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So it's going to come down to two things.
We'll
be shooting Rob at least every other Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The show would be about 8 to 10 or 8 to 11, 11:30. So for you guys, that's your 3 hours behind us. We'd need you on at like 4:30 and we'd be pulling the trigger at 5 and we need you for like 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah,
that's fine. Wake up early, just play.
Okay. No, all right.
PM. Oh, PM. Oh, that's good. Okay. I thought I meant 4:30 a.m. I was like, it'll be a struggle, right, but
I'm so tired here in space.
I will rise from the dead.
All right.
All right. And, well, thanks for having us, guys. This was cool. And this all sounds like super fun and exciting.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And guys, tell us where they can find your show again. Once more, Starship Impala. Thank you so much for being
our
here.
Our website, www.starshipimpala.com. Our Instagram at starship.impala.podcast. And on Twitter at Starship Impala. And we're on iTunes, SoundCloud, mm-hmm. and Google Play podcast.
Yeah, hop on season 2. Fresh new start. Mm-hmm.
We're
same
four
cast.
Episodes in. Episode 5 will release on this Wednesday.
Yeah, every Wednesday.
New episodes every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
All right, guys. Well, we'll say goodnight, and we're going to take a break here in the show, and we'll come back, and we'll be talking about Jared's Pen and Dragon world and how easy it is to get into his world and drop that right in second edition after the break. So thank you, Joshua.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Joseph. Jake Gyllenhaal and Joss Whedon, everybody. Thank you.
You guys have a great night. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, you guys too.
Thank you, guys.
See you guys later.